This is a two-man con. A DCU's Batman comics verse fanfic, written by Hearts Logos and read by Rena Jenkins. The story is rated PG-13 and contains the pairing Tim Drake, Jason Todd, with additional tags for alternate universe, no powers. Congratulations, you got me. The man smiles, and Bruce would ask how the hell he slipped his cuffs, except there's no point. Robin doesn't stay in any sort of binding for long. Bruce would know. He's had Robin trapped in about a dozen and a half different situations, and he always slips the noose like water. Robin crosses his arms behind his head, kicking his feet up onto the table. The man grins, a crooked smile of white teeth. Bruce swears to God that this kid is the reason why half his cases never get closed. Or at least, that's what they think. The reason why Robin's never gotten caught is because he's always done the impossible. Two places at once, at least 12 contrasting witness appearances every time. Sometimes he's blonde, sometimes he's a redhead, sometimes he's a brunette. Sometimes he's got blue-green eyes, sometimes gray-blue. Sometimes he's 6'2", and sometimes he's 5'7". Sometimes he's a man, sometimes he's a woman. Sometimes he's a construction worker, sometimes he's a professor of art. And they've never figured out how the hell he does it. So, of course, the charges never stick. Bruce narrows his eyes and walks out. What do you mean, he's gone? That's just it, boss. He's gone. How? Bruce knows that the evidence they have wouldn't hold Robin, but it wouldn't have warranted him walking out so fast. When? Who let him out? He walked. We were told to let him go. I didn't. I have a signature confirming. Show me. Bruce swears. Give me the security tapes. He might not know how he did it beforehand, but he sure as hell will figure it out now. There is a man in a detective's uniform with the police. He is walking on his way to work. A young man is walking behind him. He has earphones in and he's playing on his phone. He has several piercings, thick glasses, a pale gray beanie, an army green jacket, and a blue tan plaid button-up underneath. The detective walks out his apartment door. The young man bumps into him, slipping in the first of the trackers and picking his pocket for his wallet. The detective walks on. The young man turns a corner ahead of the detective onto a street market. The army jacket gets tossed into a stall, and he picks up a backpack instead. The phone and earphones disappear into his pockets, along with half his piercings. The beanie goes in the backpack. He jogs around the corner and crosses the street, brushing up against a crowd of pedestrians waiting for the light to change. The wallet goes back in, along with a new audio recorder. The detective crosses the street on the way to get a cup of morning coffee. The young man ducks into a back alley, taking the plaid off to reveal a black shirt underneath. That goes into the backpack, the glasses are folded away, and he runs his hands through his hair. He slips into the back of the coffee shop. Hey, sorry, I'm so late. He snags an apron and gets into place in front of the cash register, just in time for the detective to step in line. He takes the order and gets the man's signature from his credit card. The man gets out the door, and the young man slips away. I gotta go. I've got class. I already cleared it with the manager. Sorry. Thanks. One last costume change. Pants and black shirt in the backpack to reveal exercising shorts and a light wife beater. He ties his hair back and jogs away to an apartment complex by the Gotham Police Department headquarters. He enters his apartment and his phone rings. This is Robin.
Yeah, it's Robin. I've got one phone call. Make it count.
You got it. See you soon, Robin. A man in a suit walks into the police headquarters. First, using information picked up from the audio bugs on the detective's clothes, he charms his way through security as an assistant. New here. He gets shown around the building. Eventually, he ends up sharing a desk near the edge of a blind spot. The desk is empty because of a recent employee going on maternity leave. As people are going in and out, files are moving, and he goes to the mailroom. He shuffles papers between people, including Robin's file and papers. He forges the signature on the papers for release, and the papers get returned to their proper place. He disappears into a blind spot, reappears with a different tie, glasses, and blonde hair. He introduces himself as Robin's lawyer, and he's here to escort Robin out of the building. The paperwork should be arriving soon. Boss, we found something. On the tape before his lawyer comes in.
What is it? Play it.
Bruce leans in and watches Robin. Robin turns to face the camera. Smiles.
Correction to that earlier statement, Wayne. You've caught one half of me.
The door opens. A man walks in.
None of the camera angles get a good look at his face.
An officer walks in behind him and tells Robin that he's free to go. Bruce swears. A man walks into the Gotham Police Department headquarters. He walks out next to another man 20 minutes later, and they disappear into the city.
It was a two-man con all along.
That was close, Jason says, two car changes away.
And you got that done fast.
I missed you terribly, Tim drawls, loosening his tie.
Do you even know how much work I had to get done within the hours of your stupid capture? And what is even your problem? I mean, I keep telling you not to fucking bait him, but you keep baiting him and you got caught. Your stupid game of chicken, I swear to God. And now he knows we're a two-man op. Our biggest trick, gone like that. You stupid carrot! And I actually had to walk into a building full of cops. Cops, Jason. I shaved about 50 years off my life. Do you know how many warrants are out for my arrest from before, Robin? I hate you. I hate you!
Jason ducks Tim's hand as he gestures.
Can you keep your hands on the wheel?
Tim glares at him.
Eyes too, maybe. I think that'd help not get us killed.
And you not baiting the fucking police would help too, Tim snaps. Jason grimaces.
I'll make it up to you?
Jason pauses, clears his throat, repeats.
I'll make it up to you.
You'd better.
Definitely.
Jason rests his palm on Tim's thigh.
I'll definitely make it up to you.
You're such a charmer.
And you love it, darling.
The end. Reader's notes.
Okay, so the entirety of this fic is basically... fucking sirens. Is basically that period at the end of the Leverage episode where you see all the stuff that you didn't see the first time around, all the ways that, like, here's the costume changes, here's the con in action, all the things that the Mark missed. And I loved that because Jason and Tim are, like, Tim's thing is hyper-competence, right? But, like, Jason is good at that too. And, like, Tim's the other thing, like, that I love so much about him is the, basically, it's essentially shape-shifting that he does, right? From character to character, costume to costume, and how seamlessly and how fully he commits to the role. So I love this idea of Tim and Jason teaming up in a world without Batman to do the constant vigilante thing, but, like, both of them are bringing their portions of Batman to the table as Robin, right? If Jason's got the detecting and the wit and the wisecracking and the physical violence of it all, and also, like, because the thing is, they're both good detectives, right? And, like, such a significant portion of their crime solving is being, like, feet on the street undercover work. That's where they excel. Whether it's, like, gathering intel or, like, slipping themselves into somebody's or criminal organization in order to bring it down from the inside, or just plain Robin has to be a presence on the street. Batman, whatever, you non-Batman universe, but, like, the vigilante has to be, like, I love this conflagration of costuming and teamwork and competence and con artistry. They're so good at it. And then Tim has the costume changes. Oh, fuck yeah! It's so late and so loud. Why the motorcycles? Both Tim and Jason bring motorcycles to the table. Of course they do. Oh, but, like, the peek behind the curtain, the big reveal of it all, is my favorite part of every Leverage episode. I love that. So, like, having that be our glimpse into their partnership is so good. Also, I lost my voice, and I left a lot of people kind of thinking I was somebody different today. I got on a phone call with someone at work, and they said that they did not know who I was, and they almost hung up on me. So that was awkward. Yeah. I hope you enjoyed this peek behind the curtain at one possible Tim and Jason dynamic. Please tell me more about your feelings about Tim and Jason and all the ways that they do disguises and sassing Bruce. Jason cannot leave the facility without sassing Bruce. So thank you to Hearts Logos for blank permission to Pavic. Words. Thank you to Hearts Logos for having blanket permission to Podfic. And thank you, kind listener, for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. Have a nice day.